Welcome. It's November 6, 2022. Our scriptures this week are Psalms 98 and Luke 20, 27 through 38. And the title of our message this week is Righteous Equity. So if you would, please open your Bibles and read with me from Psalms 98, starting in verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of a ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Then in our gospel reading from Luke 20, verses 27 through 38, the resurrection and marriage. Starting at verse 27, some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless, the second, then the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman who died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? But Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise. For he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I first started to look at and study our scriptures today, the last verse of Psalms 98, it stood out. The psalmist wrote, sing before the Lord. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Well, then in our gospel lesson today from Luke 20, 27 through 38, we find the Sadducees are questioning Jesus about God's righteousness and equity. So today I would like us to take some time to think about righteous equity. So let me start by telling you a story about a little girl who walked into a pet shop. She went up to the shopkeeper and asked in a sweet little lisp, excuse me, mister, do you have any little rabbits? Well, the shopkeeper bent way down and put his hands on his knees so he would be on her level and asked, do you want little white rabbits or little black rabbits or maybe that cute little brown rabbit over there? The little girl thought for a moment, put her hands on her knees, leaned forward, and said in a quiet little voice, mister, I don't think my python really cares. Well, she's probably right. Her python didn't care what color the rabbits were that were put in its cage. Her mindset was of righteous equity. So according to the dictionary, the word equity is defined as meaning fairness of value. To be impartial or justice according to natural law. The word righteousness is defined as the quality of being morally right or justifiable. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, the NIV Bible, it titles it The Authority of Jesus' Question. And it begins in verse 1 and 2. One day as he was teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, together with the elders, came up to him. "And tell us, by what authority are you doing these things?" they said. "Who gave you this authority?" That's in Luke 20, verses 1 and 2. So when you read the rest of the chapter, and I suggest that you do, Jesus is questioned and asked questions of those present on a variety of different subjects, all of which were about righteousness and equity. He questioned them about John's baptism and asked them, was it from heaven or from men? Well, basically, Jesus was asking them, was John's baptism of righteous equity in the eyes of God? And then he continued to tell them the parable of the tenants, and he asked them, what then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? In other words, what would be the righteous and equitable thing that needs to be done in the eyes of men? Well, in verse 20 through 26, in chapter 20, Jesus is questioned about paying taxes to Caesar. He's asked, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? They weren't really asking what is the righteous and equitable thing to do. They were trying to trap him in his words. Because verse 23 tells us he saw through their duplicity. Well, then in our text today, we find the Sadducees looking for righteous equity on their behalf. Who were the Sadducees, you might ask? Well, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, they studied Scripture most rigorously. They thought about and pondered God day and night. They dealt with life's big questions. It's pretty much all they did. So here is the opportunity of a lifetime. Here is God in the flesh walking around among them. Here is Jesus perfectly willing to talk about the meaning of Scripture. I mean, here is Jesus eager to shed some light on the will of God. The opportunity of a lifetime. And they blew it. Consider this. If you, like the Sadducees, could ask Jesus a question, any question, be promised a plain answer, what would you ask? There are a lot of big ones that have never been answered. Wouldn't it be great if you could just go up to Jesus and ask him one of life's big, profound, eternal mysteries? Why is there evil? Or what happens when you die? Or why are we here? Well, Jesus was asked a lot of questions in the time when he was walking around some 2,000 years ago. And some of them were pretty good questions. I mean, like, what must I do to be saved? Or whose fault is it that a man was born blind? Others were not nearly so profound. Can my two sons get the good seats in heaven? Or can you make my brother split the family inheritance evenly? Well, it seems too many times selfishness gets in the way. Selfishness and ambition. But however misguided those questions were, at least they were questions. Now the Sadducees, however, they came up to Jesus and told him this big, long, hypothetical story. An elaborate and drawn-out setup, if you will. And then for the punchline, they asked a question. Only it really wasn't a question. I mean, you ask a question if you want to learn something, a fact perhaps, or someone's opinion, maybe some bit of wisdom. The Sadducees didn't want to learn from Jesus. Their question wasn't really a question at all. I mean, they were like the family that bought a pet hamster. The children promised they would take care of it. And you guess how that worked out. Mom ended up with about 90% of the responsibilities. Well, one evening, she was thoroughly fed up with the kids' lack of responsibility, and she asked, "How many times do you think that hamster would have died if I hadn't looked after it?" Well, after a moment, her 5-year-old son looked up and asked innocently, once?" Well, of course he's right. They only die once. And none of us avoid that one-time event. These Sadducees, they came to Jesus with a similar question regarding the subject of death. One of the differences between Pharisees and Sadducees is that the Sadducees did not believe in life beyond the grave. So it's obvious that they were trying to entrap Jesus. Listen to their question. "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first one married a woman and died childless, the second, and then the third married her, and in the same way the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman who died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Now, ladies, imagine that you were part of a system like this. I'm sure you wouldn't consider this as righteous equity. But in that system of righteous equity, if you were married to a man and he died, you would automatically be passed to his brother. Then it'd be dried to the next brother and so on, regardless of what you thought about it or what your sisters-in-law thought about it. Things would likely get a little messy. Well, theoretically, this was all possible in the culture in which Jesus lived. A woman could survive being married to seven brothers. Well, now the Sadducees wanted to know, whose wife would she be at the resurrection? And since the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, that was obviously a trick question. And Jesus, of course, saw through it immediately. But he decided to indulge them. Well, Jesus replied, "The people of this age married and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection." In other words, Jesus is telling them that marriage is an earthly phenomenon. It consists, first of all, as a union of the flesh. The same rules do not apply to the spiritual state. There is no marriage in heaven. So if your first spouse has died and you have remarried, relax. You'll be married to neither in the next life. Having answered their question, Jesus turns the table and gives a very definite affirmation of life beyond the grave, just to make sure the Sadducees understand which side he's on. In the account of the burning bush, Jesus says, "Even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." Well, then Christ says conclusively, "He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." That's good news, isn't it? Everybody, whether they are alive or whether they are in heaven, everybody is alive to God. Life continues beyond the grave. Well, the Sadducees could have posed the same problem with a much simpler question, one that sometimes gets asked today. How old are you in heaven? Or if you die as an infant, are you an infant in eternity? If you die at 104, frail and confused, are you frail and confused forever? How is God's righteous equity revealed in heaven? So the real question today is about one of life's certainties. Like those rabbits, it makes no difference whether we're black, brown, yellow, or white. It makes no difference whether we are rich or poor, and whether we are people of great acclaim or nobodies, even whether we are sinners or saints. Our mortality rate is still the same. It's 100%. So what does this mean for us? It means that it is all right now. All of our time is God's time. I mean, Sunday morning is God, and next Tuesday is God's. Every minute since the moment of our birth belongs to God, and so does all the future. For us, things happen one after the other, day after day. So as we live our day-to-day lives, remember that Jesus is dying for our sins we are committing now. Jesus is rising to forgive us now. Jesus is calling us into the kingdom of heaven right now. God loves us now, so we must show love now. God is merciful to us now. So sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity, the psalmist wrote in 98:9. God is the God of the living. So we need to take the time God has blessed us with and truly see it as a time of life, for life. Live for Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Live by the scriptures, learn from the scriptures, live in prayer, learn from prayer. Live to share the good news, learn from talking with and listening to other Christians. I mean, we have the same opportunities the Sadducees had. Let's not waste it setting traps like they did, saying things like, if God is there, then this will happen, or since this is going on, God must not care. We must keep asking questions, keep seeking knowledge and wisdom. But we have to understand, first off, that we're not going to understand everything. God doesn't owe us an explanation, and we wouldn't comprehend it if we had one. Life's big questions have answers that are too big to fit into our heads. Rather than demanding that God put everything into terms we can understand, let us look and see how God is working in the world and in our lives. Jesus is here among us. Jesus is among us and willing to show us the meaning of Scripture and the meaning of our lives. Jesus is here among us, eager to reveal to us the will of God. Forgiveness is ours. As Paul writes in Romans 6, 11 through 14, he writes, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Know this, those who have come to faith in Jesus, our God is the God of the living, not of the dead. And we should no longer allow sin to control our lives. Instead, we should offer ourselves to God to serve His purposes, alive in Christ Jesus. So sing before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth, and He will judge the world in righteousness and of peoples with equity. I mean, love is ours. The future is ours. And it's the opportunity of a lifetime. Amen. In His service, this has been Pastor Joe.